with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 4, follow along on the bulletin or the monitors. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that your will is going to be done in this service. Thank you that we're going to leave here refreshed and energized and excited and ready to be about your business, Lord. Thank you that thank you for your anointing, Father. Don't let any of us leave here the same way we came in. And if anyone has not accepted you as our Lord and Savior, thank you that they will do so today before this service is up. We love you and praise you. No matter what we're going through, no matter what's going on in our little world, we love you and praise you. Because you are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen.
God is good, right?
All the time.
All the time. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1, we're continuing. Yes, we are still on the topic of more of God, less of me, going deeper into our walk with Jesus Christ. Raise your hands if you want to be that sold-out individual. Go ahead, raise your hands, man. Raise your hands if you want to be what God's called you to be. Okay, because here's the deal. Okay, we got saved. If you're saved, if you accepted Jesus Christ, you are saved, all right? Now, what has happened is you are no longer your own. That's how it works, okay? You signed on the dotted line. I belong to the Lord Jesus. I accept that precious gift, okay? So now we go from salvation to sanctification. Okay, and one day, glorification. Okay, but for the rest of our time here on this side of Jordan, on this side of eternity, okay, we're part of that sanctification process where we're letting the good Lord rule and reign in our hearts, more of God, less of me each and every day. The things I used to do, okay, they bother me now when I do them. The things I used to do, I no longer do. Does that make sense this morning? I'm growing in my relationship with the Lord. More of God, less of me. I'm putting that flesh man down. I'm starving that flesh man, and I'm feeding my spirit man. I hope that's not completely weird or strange to all of you guys, but hopefully that'll make more sense as we go on this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 1. Finally, it's really cool. The Apostle Paul says, finally. He ain't nowhere near done with his letter. But as all preachers, he's like, okay, I'm wrapping this thing up. But he ain't wrapping it up, man. He's digging into second gear, third gear, fourth gear. Whatever. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you. Okay, this is cool right here because the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm going to ask you this, but I want you to understand, as I'm asking you this, Brother David, as I'm asking you this, this is some important stuff. Okay, this is how Christians are supposed to behave. Okay, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus. Now, that's super important, too, because the Apostle Paul is a representative of Jesus Christ. So his authority comes from Jesus Christ. He's not showing up to this church, the Thessalonians, and saying, hey, I need you to do this because, I'm the big guy and all that. It has nothing to do with him, okay? He's not just some dude, but he represents Jesus Christ. He was tapped to be the apostle to the Gentile people. Okay, so he has all that authority given to him by Jesus Christ. Making sense this morning? Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk. You know, I'm sure you guys are aware of this, but the Christian life, a lot of the time in Scripture, is compared to a walk, a journey. You know, this is what we're on. We're on a journey, all right? More of God, less of me, each and every day. As we go on this journey in step with Jesus Christ, am I making sense this morning? As we're doing this walk, let's make sure that we are sold out and we are devoted to God. Amen? So that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Okay. Super, super important. Let's park here for just one second. We got to decide, you know. Me, I've got to decide. Sister Rachel has to decide. We all have to decide. What is it all about? Who do I want to please, you know? Because the old man, before I was saved, it was all about me, you know. And there was nothing wrong with that, although there was a lot of stuff wrong with that. But I was serving a completely different master. Does that make sense? Okay, but now I belong to God. Okay, so there should be some thankfulness. Honestly, sincerely, there should be some thankfulness for what has been done for us, right? And what happens a lot of time is, especially a lot of us that have been Christians for a really long time, man, we kind of lose track, man. We kind of lose track of how thankful we used to be and how excited we used to be that we were saved, that we were washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, life goes on, life does its thing, the world does what's going on, man, and we get worn down, and we can lose the joy of our salvation. We can lose the fear of the Lord. Does that make sense? So this question, let's let it go out this morning. Let it resonate in your hearts. Honestly, who do I want to serve? Who do I want to serve? Who do I want to please? Okay? That as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Talking about holy living, being the person God wants me to be. More of God, less of me. Let's read Galatians 1 verse 10 right here, guys. This is what Paul had to say. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Now think about that. Is it all about pleasing yourself? Honestly, look in your heart. Is it all about what I want? Is it all about what Paul wants? Is it about pleasing me? Is it about fooling folks? Is it about me fitting in? Is it about pleasing man or is it about pleasing God? Because Jesus Christ died for you. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ created you. He didn't have to. He created you. He handpicked you. He called you by name. Isn't that really, really cool? Isn't that super cool? And he's like, Faye, you're coming with me. You are mine. Man, what a wonderful, awesome thing. Sister Ellen, you are mine. You are my little girl. You're coming with me. He called us by name. He handpicked us, man. He didn't have to. He created us. He handpicked us. He saved our souls, man. Okay, so with that information, let's take it from our minds and let's put it in our hearts. For am I now seeking approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, because that's what it used to all be about, you know. About, you know, what's in it for me? I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, you know, but let's make no mistakes about it. I got to look out for number one and make sure I don't step in number two. Whoop-de-doo. Goodness gracious, I can't believe he said that. Okay. If I were still trying to please man, listen up, I would not be a servant of Christ. Man, that's powerful right there. Paul's saying that's the old me, okay? It was all about me. It was all about my credentials and how I looked and how I perceived, how people thought I was, and I wanted people to think highly of me and all this sort of thing. But that's the old Paul. That's not me no more. I live to please God, right? So here we are, man, in the valley of decision. You know, what am I going to do? Do I want to sell out 100% each and every morning? Because that's what it takes. Every single morning, you know. I have decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. No turning back, man. Okay, I'm going to walk out that door. I'm going to be prayed up. Okay. So anyways, this is Paul. Hey, man, if it was all about me, I wouldn't be a Christian. Because as a Christian, I am a servant of the Most High God, and I am to follow the Bible, okay? I'm a representative of the Lord down here on earth, so God expects me to act a certain way, think a certain way, to be a certain set-aside person. That's what we are. We're set aside for God. You know what I mean? We're His babies. We're His kids, and He expects that of us. All right. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you. Paul's like, I'm asking you. Right now I'm asking you. Okay, but my authority comes through Jesus Christ. So I want you to understand the importance of what we're talking about here, okay? We need to walk holy, okay? We are God's representatives down here to a lost and dying world. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk, how you ought to live this Christian life, this journey that you're on, receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Isn't that really, really cool? Isn't that a cool message from Paul? Like, hey, no one's getting in trouble here, folks. I just want to encourage you guys to keep doing more of what you're doing. You know what I mean? What a wonderful thing. And so that's us right here, man. There's a lot of things that we can work on, but there's also a lot of things, man, that we're doing that are God-pleasing things. And we want to do more and more of that stuff each and every single day, right? More of God, less of me. What a great pat on the back, man, for the Apostle Paul to say, I've been hearing good things about you guys. We gave you the gospel. We gave you the good news. You got the right teaching, okay? Now keep on. In other words, don't get sidetracked. Don't be deceived. Don't go astray. Don't get off in some crazy business, okay? Y'all with me so far? I want to read with you guys Philippians 3 and verse 12. Now, I love the book of Philippians, and I've tried in the last few weeks, I've tried to not pull so many verses from the book of Philippians because I'm prayerfully considering doing one of those verse-by-verse studies in the book of Philippians, but I could not resist. I want to put this in here. And maybe in the near future, we will do the book of Philippians verse by verse. But right now, I got this little jewel for you. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this. This is all the Apostle Paul right here. You know, the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. And that's what we're supposed to do. Follow Christ. I don't know what to do in this situation, Brother Paul. What does the Bible say? Yeah, but I don't want to do that. You know, that's what we're here for, man. We're Christians, okay? We're Christians, okay? And you know, I mean, let's be honest, man. Sometimes, a lot of the time, the right thing to do, the right thing to do, the right thing to say is usually not the easy thing to do. It's usually not the easy thing to say, man. You know, it's not. But we can do all things through Christ. So the Apostle Paul's pushing this, man, okay? I urge you to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, okay? Keep doing more of it. Okay, Philippians 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this. I'm not perfect. Not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Now, let's make this clear. We're not going to be perfect on this side of Jordan, okay? We can shoot for it. We should shoot for it, but you're not going to be. You know what I mean? More of God, less of me each and every day. Remember, we go for salvation. Sanctification, that's where we're at, man. Then we're going to go to that glorification. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but as I press on to make it my own. Super, super cool right there. I'm pressing on, man. I'm moving forward. I know I'm not where I need to be in my relationship with the Lord. I know there's still a lot of stuff I need to let go, and I'm working on it, man. I'm leaning on the Holy Spirit. I'm letting that stuff go. I'm repenting. I'm turning away from it. More of God, less of me, each and every day, man. I press on, man. All right, I ain't giving up. I'm striving. I'm reaching for it. Okay, I'm not already perfect, but as I press on to make it my own. Okay, Paul, why so adamant? Why so zealous about being the best Christian you can be? Well, looky here. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. What an awesome, awesome little tidbit, man. You realize that? Do you realize that Jesus Christ has made us his own? Okay, that we're joint heirs with him? He did all the hard work, and we get all the goodies? You know what I mean? We are so super, super blessed. And this isn't some fairy tale. This isn't just some weird story your grandma used to tell you so you would sleep good at night. This is real, man. Jesus Christ lived on the earth for 33 plus years. He come from heaven, and he died and rose from the dead, and he took away my sins, man. We're blessed. Give him some praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. And, you know, the Apostle Paul, he also said, you know, sometimes, a lot of the time, I don't do what I know I should do. A lot of the times, I don't do the right thing. But see how serious he is about doing the right thing. You know what I mean? You know what's going to help us do the right thing, honestly? What's going to help us do that difficult, hard obedience that we don't really want to do is getting into the Word of God. Yeah. Getting into the Word of God, man. Your Word, I have hidden my heart that I might not sin against you. And that's, man, that's something we really want to push. We've got to get in the Word. We've got to stay in the Word. You know, I can't tell you how many times, man, when I've been going through something, a Bible verse will just pop up in my head. Boom. And then it's up to me whether or not I'm going to lean on that or stand on that. But see, we got to get God's Word in us, man. Okay? We got to feed that Spirit, man. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Spend time in God's Word, man. You got time to do it. If you got time, Lord have mercy. I've never in my life seen so many people everywhere you go, man. I know everyone says this, but it's so true. Everywhere you go, look in the next waiting room you're in. Look in the next line you're in. Everybody's doing the thing. They're all doing this, you know? It's crazy. I think something's going wrong with all this stuff. Everybody's looking. Am I wrong in that? Does anyone agree with me? Everybody's doing the thing, man. You know, searching up something, the Facebook. Never mind. Doesn't matter. But if you got time to do that, you got time to Google some Bible verses. Yeah. You know what I mean? You got time. Take a couple Bible verses, man, and read them and chew them up. Meditate on them. Let that stuff get in here, okay? And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not downing anybody. I'm just saying what I've saw. But we have time. We can make time. Here's the deal, Brother Robert. We're going to make time for what's important to us. We're going to make sure we get that in, you know? I didn't get the sleep I needed because I had to go work on Joe Bill's truck or whatever. Well, man, I get that. But we can make time to spend time with the most important person in our world. Amen? Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Moving forward. Why, Paul? Why are you so zealous and serious about serving God? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I'm his. I belong to Jesus. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 and 2. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know that what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus, he's making the same claim. He's like, my authority is not my own. I'm a representative of Jesus Christ. I have been called out on the road to Damascus. I was called out by Jesus Christ to be his representative. Okay, I have the authority. It's not my own authority. It's not Caesar's authority. It's not my grandma's authority. This is authority given to me by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Okay, so as I bring this message to you, church, Thessalonians, you know what I mean? This ain't what I want to see. This is what God wants out of us. Okay, for you know what instructions we gave you. Now remember, earlier today we were talking about how Paul is like saying, I urge you guys to do this. Okay, now in the original language where it says instructions here, that's like a military term. It's like a command. So he went from saying, I want to ask you guys to do this. It would be great if you can do this. I want to urge you to do this. Now he's turning it up a notch. He's turning the amp all the way to 11. You know what I mean? Only a couple of you guys got that. If that, maybe Ron. Ron, you know it, don't you? Turn the amp to, never mind. Doesn't matter. Amps only go to 10. All right, here we go. For you know what instructions, original language, instructions. For you know what commands you have been given by God. Yes, I spoke them, but it was by God. For you know what commands we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Paul's being pretty serious about this stuff now, man. Because there's a lot on the line, man. You know, think about it. When we're Christian folks, You know, we got that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We've accepted him as our Lord and Savior. You want to be a super miserable Christian? Raise your hands if you want to be a super miserable Christian. Go ahead and straddle the fence, man. Go ahead and have one foot in the world and one foot out, man. You got too much of Jesus to be happy in the world. True. Too much of the world to be happy in the church. You know? It's not a fun way to live, man. It's not. It's not productive. So what happens is we're messing up our witness all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's tell the truth this morning. We mess up our witness and our testimony by how we're acting in our homes or wherever. You know? So I'm not saying we're a bunch of gnarly, nasty, crazy, ex-murdering folks. But I'm saying, man, that we all of us have something. There's things in our life that God would like for us to get rid of. You know, more of God, less of me, right? Yeah. More of God, less of me. Remember the Apostle Paul? He made me his own. He brought me into the family. He didn't have to do that. I was condemned by my own actions. I was on my way to hell because of the things I decided to do, man. I was a sinner, okay? But Jesus Christ saved my soul. He said, No, Brother David, you're coming with me. No, Sister Brenda, you're mine. I'm making you my own. All right? Thank the good Lord. Okay, let's read 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? What? Well, all God's people said, what? No, say it like this. What? That is some weird business, man. What do you mean my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's why I stopped going to church when I turned 16. That's just weird, man. What does that mean? Yeah. My body's the temple. That's it. That's the deal. That's what happened. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of all of us. That's what it talks about. He has made us his own, man. We're in the family, and nothing can pry us out of his grip, man. Nothing can pull us away from his love. You know what I mean? That's a big, big deal. That should mean something to us. You know what I mean? When we have that temptation right there before us, you know what I mean? Like, man, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing right here. I'm going to call Rachel first and see what she thinks. No, man, I'm going to do what the Bible says, right? Okay. Or do you not know, as if you did not know, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? It's not about coming to a church building. You need to come to a church building. We need to come together and worship, and iron sharpens iron. We need to be around people that love the same Lord, that feel the same way, so we can encourage one another and we can grow in relationship with one another. We need this. We're not supposed to put this aside. But some people, believe it or not, there's some people that are Christian folk that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that have never stepped foot in a church. Yeah, totally possible, man. Totally possible. Okay, how is that possible? Because it's not about the Holy Spirit being in a building made of stone and wood and all that stuff. It's about what's in our hearts, man. You know what I mean? We belong to Jesus Christ. He dwells inside us. That should mean something. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? This is what I want to emphasize. You are not your own. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, scoot over, man. No. No. Everybody. Some of y'all are kind of huddled up real close. That's good to see y'all like that. Okay. Oh, are y'all cold? I'm sorry. I apologize. I was wondering why this group over here looks like they're all conserving body. Bless your hearts, everybody. I get all hot and sweaty and everything. And, oh, Lord, the things you endure to come to this church. And it was February 2nd. He had ceiling fan on. Or do you not? They don't do that at First Baptist. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? This is a gift from God, man. Check this out. This is what you want to say to your neighbor. You are not your own. You're not your own, man. You belong to somebody else. Remember earlier in our little study, a couple weeks ago, we talked about you're going to serve somebody. You're going to be devoted to somebody, okay? You're going to have a master, okay? You're either a slave to sin or you're going to willingly make yourself a slave to Jesus Christ. You are going to do it out of your own heart. No one's going to grab you and make you do it, all right? This is something you decide to do because you are thankful for what's been done for you. And you got to do that on a daily basis, man. You know what I mean? I'm going to pick up my cross daily and follow him. You know, I'm not saying we get saved every single day. I'm talking about we make that decision that I'm going to be what God's called me to be. That I'm going to say no to that temptation. I'm going to say yes to Jesus, right? Okay. Let's move forward. Let's go to the next slide. Man, I got an awesome, I got a new Bible. That's all I want to say. It's amazing. It's, you know, here's the deal, man. My eyes have grown a bit dim. And the things I used to could read really easily have gotten really, really hard to read, man. And so I got this wonderful gift yesterday that I totally did not expect. And it was such a breath of fresh air to break out this awesome new Bible with the big letters. These letters are so big. It's like there's like four words on each page, man. The Bible's like this big. It's really big. No, there's not four words. But looky here. Looky here, man. It's so wonderful, man, to be able to read the Word of God and not be like, you know. Anywho, we better get moving forward before everybody, never mind. 1 Thessalonians 4, look at your monitors or your bulletins. God is good. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, for this is the will of God. Okay, let's recap a little bit. Okay, you're God's people. You've been bought at a price. You're not your own. The Apostle Paul has given these folks, this church, the instructions they're to follow, and they're doing pretty good at it. Keep up the good work. But looky here, let's dig a little deeper here. Remember, a huge price was paid for your salvation, and we shouldn't take that for granted. We shouldn't stomp all over that wonderful grace that has been given to us, for this is the will of God. Okay, every single one of us who love Jesus Christ, we should be, I want God's will done in my life. That's what we should be. And maybe a lot of us are like, I don't really care what God's will is. You know, there's so much of that flesh, man. You're like, I'm saved. I belong to Jesus. Now I want to do what Paul wants to do, man. You know what I mean? I only got one life. I only got one life to live, brother. It's not about us, man. We should want God's will in our life. And a lot of us are like, well, what is God's will for my life? I need to make sure I'm in the exact place I'm supposed to be for this to happen. I need to make sure that I marry the right person and all that stuff. Look, let's start right here. Here's a perfect little picture. Here it is. You want to know what God's will is for your life? To be mature, to be sanctified, to let God grow us up, man. Okay? So you want God's will to be in your life? Go to the places in the Bible. Let's start here where it says, this is God's will. Follow those, follow that, and guess what? You're going to find out that you're going to end up in God's will. You're going to be where God wants you to be, okay? Because you're going to be following the Word of God. That's God's will. Follow the Word of God. Okay, problem solved. Okay, tell the truth, shame the devil. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Sanctification, it's a really, really cool word. It's like to be holy, to be set apart. Now, I found this really cool definition that I think you guys will like. So, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, to let God mature us, more of God, less of me, okay? It's not about what Paul wants. It's not about what Rachel wants. It's about what the Most High God wants. Now, okay, I'm going to try and read this. This is a really cool definition. Set apart, this is sanctification, set apart for the use intended by its designer. Read that again. This is really, really cool. Sanctification. Set apart for the use intended. I got it. Set apart for the use intended by its designer. So, I'm holding in my hand here a Pilot G2.05 pens is what I prefer to use. Now, this has not been designed for me to dig rubbish out of my teeth after a chicken dinner. This is not intended for me to get earwax out of the little kid's ear in the nursery. That's not what it's intended for. Did y'all know that? It's intended to write things. You see what I'm saying? So here we are. Listen, we're not our own. We've been bought at a price. And there are some ways that God has intended us to be, right? He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be used the way he, it's not even recommended. He's like, this is, we take the manual right here. We take the word of God. He's like, this is what you're supposed to do right here. Okay, guys don't like to follow directions. We don't like to follow instructions. But all of us, we got to follow the word of God. You want to keep yourself from a bunch of painful consequences? Follow the word of God. You want to grow in relationship with God? Follow the word of God. So I thought that was a really cool definition. Set apart for the use intended by its designer. You are, let me say it like this, Josh. You are set apart. Sandy, you are set apart. Huh? Okay. Everybody, we're Christian folks. We have been set apart for the use intended by our designer. Okay? The world could do whatever they want to do. They can do their thing. The unbeliever can do their thing. But we have a purpose, man. All right? We want to be about God's business. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Well, okay. That you abstain from sexual immorality. Now, that's not the only sin. We all know that. But see, this church right here, obviously, there was some issues where there was some temptation in those areas. Now, what we got to understand is the Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles or the former pagan folks, man. And in a lot of their worship, man, there was a lot of naughty business going on, man. You know, a lot of sexually immoral stuff, man. Like a lot of pagan worship, they had like temple prostitutes and all kinds of crazy stuff would go on, man. So there was a temptation. There was a pull living in this world, this Roman outpost, man. You know, this Roman area, occupied area. Yeah, everybody knows about the Romans, right? You know, there was all this temptation. So the Apostle Paul's making this statement, making this point. Hey, you're not your own, man. All right. You need to abstain from all this stuff. Don't let your witness get messed up, all right? We want more of God, less of me. I want to be obedient to his word, but it's awful tempting. Yeah, I know it can be tempting, but I'm going to stand on the word of God. Can I get a witness? For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. Ephesians 5 and verse 3 right there on your monitor. This is Paul again talking about it. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness, all God's people said covetousness. But sexual immorality and all impurity, covetousness, must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. That's what I want to talk about, as proper among saints. Sanctified saints, Christians. We're Christian folks, man. So, yeah, we're going to be tempted like everybody else. We got natural desires like everybody else. But see, we got to decide that I want to follow God. I want to be what God's called me to be. Amen? I don't want to straddle that fence. I want to be what God's called me to be. More of God, less of me, right? As is proper among saints. Let's continue. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body. There's a novel ideal, right? A little self-control, right? You know, it's something we don't practice too much. That's something I don't practice too much. You know, I'm really, really strong in a lot of areas. But you go waving the Debbie cakes around me, I might act really strong around you. We'll go out to eat. I'm like, nah, I will not partake in the devil's delicacies. I will not. But man, I won't. If I'm not strong, man, I'll get in bad trouble when no one's looking. I know Rachel Jeans walked in the kitchen the next day and saw empty baskets of Debbie cakes. She's like, I don't know what happened. I was one of the kids. Anywho, enough of the Debbie cake business. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body. A little self-control. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. So, man, it can't get much more simpler than that. We are expected to live a certain way, to act a certain way. And there's all these temptations, and some people are tempted by different things. Some people are totally like, man, I don't have a problem with that sexual thing, man. You know, it is what it is, man. That's your deal. My thing is gossip. Well, then there you go. Yeah. Because we've got to understand, man, ain't nobody in here perfect. Nobody is in here. No one in here is perfect. Okay, just get that out of your mind. You're not perfect. And see, here's the deal, man. You know, love the, what's the saying? Love the sinner, hate the sin. That's true. I mean, that's totally true. We want to love the sinner because, you know, Jesus does. We want to love the sinner. But I mean, honest to goodness, man, we need to hate our sin. We need to hate our sin and not worry about what they're doing, man. Okay, we got to give the truth. We got to give the truth in love. We want to be there for a lost and dying world. We want to be there for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But the only person that you have any power over what you're going to do is you. You know what I mean? That's all you can do, man. You get yourself in line, then you'll be able to be a blessing to other people. But that's a full-time job, man. You, me, you know what I mean? I can try and get the little speck of doo-doo out of your eye, you know, the little piece of wood out of your eye, but that's awful hard because I got a humongous plank in my eye, you know? And that's all of us, man. Ain't none of us perfect. You know, but we want to have that part in our life where it's more of God, less of me. Amen. And I want to pray for my brother and sister in Christ, and I want to be there for them. I want to help them. But you know what? It's me standing in need of prayer. It's me. Man, I've got to work on myself, right? Okay. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. Live like we're representatives of Jesus Christ. Verse 5, not in the passion of lust, not like not giving in to every single temptation like you used to could do, you know. The time for that's past. You're a Christian now, you know. And it's not like God's trying to steal your fun, because he's not trying to steal your fun. He's trying to keep you from making a mess of things, man. You know? Okay. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles. Well, hold on a second. Paul, I'm a Gentile. No, probably everybody in here is a Gentile. But see, what this is referring to is people that have not accepted Jesus Christ. Okay? We have accepted Jesus Christ. That makes sense? We can say it like this. Not in the passion of lust like the pagans or the unsaved. Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. See, that's the big difference, man. That's the big difference between all of us in the world. We can't plead ignorance. We serve a master who tells us what's right from wrong. You know what I mean? We can't say, well, I didn't know what I was supposed to do that. Yeah, you did, man. Goodness gracious. Right? Not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who don't know God. We know better. I mean, you know, my thing ain't the lust thing. My thing is the gossip. My thing is the gambling, man. I can't stop gambling. I'll take my paycheck, and I ain't got no money when I come home. We all got things we need to work on. The thing is, we don't need to act like an unbeliever. Does it make sense? Okay. Matter of fact, let's go to the next slide. Let's just go to the next slide. I love you guys. So, like, nobody's hot in here? Okay. Okay, we're gonna wrap things up really fast. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Look at it right here on your monitor. The greatest commandment, biggest commandment. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God. This is Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ is saying. Jesus, what if you had one thing to tell me, Jesus, and if you had one thing to tell me, what would you want to tell me? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Man, you got anything else to tell me, Jesus? Because that's really, really hard. Well, that's what we're shooting for. To have that Christ-centered life, man. To where my thoughts, are going to go through the filter of, would Jesus be cool with me thinking this? You know? And like I said before, you can't help the thoughts that get thrown into your head, you know, little fiery darts. But it's up to you if you want to hang on to them. It's up to you if you want to water that stuff. And if you hang on to it and water it, it's only a matter of time before you're doing it in some way. So anyways, we're to live a God-centered life. You know what I mean? The things I do. More of God, less of me. Make sense? We're set aside. We're not our own. Last time I checked, the good word, we're not our own. We've been bought at a big old price. And that price is the precious blood of the Lamb. Exodus 20 and verse 2. I am the Lord your God. We're going to end with this verse right here. Check this out, man. This is 10 commandments right here. Matter of fact, this is the first commandment. But looky here. Exodus 20 and verse 2. I am the Lord your God. Okay. I'm God, and you belong to me, and we belong to one another. We're in a covenant relationship. And God didn't have to bring us into the covenant relationship, but he said, you know what? You're mine. I love you. I'm not going to let you get away. You belong to me now. You're not your own, though. There's some things I want you to do, all right? But my son, Jesus Christ, has paid for all this stuff, and you can do. You know we can do what God asked us to do, man? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, so I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. So he took us out of the world, and he did, man. We were doing the thing, man, serving the devil, serving ourselves, going the wrong way, heading to hell, man. And he brought us out of that. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. See, there it is, man. We're not slaves to sin anymore. We don't have to give in to sin. Make sense? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. In other words, we are saved. We are saved. We are saved, ma'am. Now, check this out. You shall have no other gods before me. And that's lowercase g. Look, you shall have no other fake, false gods. Don't ever let anything be more important to you than your relationship with me. Or even when that's hard, go back to verse 2 and remember, I am the Lord your God. You are mine. I am yours. I created you. I brought you out of the world. I delivered you from slavery. All right? You're not going to hell now, man. So you know what? I deserve to be number one in your life. Okay? Every good thing you have is from me. Amen? And we spend our time chasing these things, man, that'll never fulfill us, that'll never give us what we think they will. You know what I mean? Only God can satisfy. So I just want to encourage all of us, man. Let's make sure that Jesus Christ is on the throne in our hearts, man, each and every morning. I want to be what God's called me to be. I want more of God, less of myself. Amen? Father God, thank you so much for blessing this congregation. Thank you, Father God, that we're not discouraged. We're not in fear or anxiety or depression, Lord. But we're trusting in you, Lord, and we're growing in relationship with you, Lord. We want more of you and less of ourselves. Give us the hunger and the desire to fall in love with you if we have not already, Lord. Let us want to be your beloved child. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, looky here.